The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
I want to welcome all of you to Kingdom Connection today, and I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Thank God for our men, mighty men of God, who are standing and fighting for their families in times like we're living in. Fatherhood is one of life's greatest blessings, and it's also one of life's greatest responsibilities. I know as a father of five, grandfather of five, this is the most important role we will ever have in life. God holds fathers accountable for teaching their own children the Word of God by example, by words, and by our actions. Thank God for our fathers, and I believe today's message is a word for our fathers, really, but for every person watching this program today. Let's go right into the service at Free Chapel, Gainesville, Georgia. If you're ever in our area, come by and worship with us live, because it's a powerful experience. Now lean in and listen, and I believe that if you'll give me the next 20 minutes of your life, you will never forget what you're about to hear. Let God's Word speak to you today.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I want to share something today that I ran across in 1999, and I preached part of what I'm going to share today, but I saw more this week as I looked into it. Whether you think this relates to you or not, I promise you that before you leave here, you're going to see you in what I'm going to preach about, and I want you to know that I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. This is something that I've kind of wrestled with all week long. And I thought, well, you know, do I want to preach that today? And so I'm going to preach from Job chapter 41. Turn there with me. These are strange scriptures. I'll explain them in just a moment. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Leviathan is, If you look it up in commentary, some say a sea monster, some say a marine animal, a serpent, a sea serpent. Ancient sailors would write on the sides of maps pictures of Leviathan, a serpent, a scaly. A crocodile is literally what it means. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make, listen, verse 3, will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a pet or a bird, like you take home to your two daughters? Is what he says. Would you let your maidens or your daughters play with this dangerous, dangerous, dangerous animal, beast? Would you make it a pet, a companion? Can you kill it? Listen to verse 8. Lay your hand on him and remember the battle. You'll never do it again. Then I want to, and I could keep reading, because every one of these are loaded with things that are pretty powerful that we'll explain again quickly. Verse 14, who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride. Shut up tightly as with a seal, one is so near another. The scales of this animal are so nearly connected to one another. No air, everybody say no air. No air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. He out of his mouth, verse 19, goes burning lights and sparks of fire. I could go on and on, but let me point out just quickly, verse 24, his heart is hard as a stone. He's stiff-necked, it says in other verses. And finally, the last verse really sums it all up. He identifies who he took a whole chapter to talk about. This is God speaking to Job, by the way. It's not one of his friends. It's God speaking to Job right before he gets deliverance, right before the trial of a lifetime is over. And this is what he says. He beholds every high thing. The word high is symbolic of proud. He beholds every high thing. He is the king who I've just finished describing to you in great characteristics of this spirit called Leviathan that you've been wrestling with. He said he is the king over all the children of pride. He is the king over all the children of pride. I want to talk to you about what blocks the air, what blocks the wind. The wind is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. What blocks it? What shields it? But it's even much more practical than that. Leviathan is mentioned five times in the scriptures. Over and over and over, this ancient name that God would liken unto a king, which means the king means he is a high principality. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. A lot of people don't like to talk about the devil in the pulpit anymore. A lot of preachers never mention him. The Bible never told us to ignore the devil. The Bible said be aware of the devil. The Bible said be sober, be vigilant. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And in this remarkable chapter, God said to Job, right before his breakthrough, I want you to understand, even though you think this spirit has not been involved in your life, it has been. And I'm going to ask you a pop quiz, and I'm going to give you four questions that will reveal whether or not the spirit of Leviathan, which is a water creature, which in other words, he lurks. He lurks at the bottom. You can't see him. He's in the murky water. This spirit operates among water. Water is symbolic of the spirit. Water is symbolic of where the spirit moves. Water means that he is attracted. There's actually a verse that says he likes to play in the water. It names him, calls him Leviathan. Maybe they can throw that scripture up. And it says that's where he likes to play, down lurking in the water, lurking and playing in the water. And so this spirit is one that the church deals with. This spirit is one that ministries and Christians have to deal with. This one is sneaky and it lurks in the bottom and it can get a grip in your life. The name Leviathan literally means to trick or to twist and to coil. One commentary said it's like a corkscrew that you put in a cork. Once it's in there, it's extremely hard to get out and to pull out. And notice that's why God starts the conversation and he says, Job, can you just take a hook and pull him out of the water? And the answer is no. The Bible said pride goes before a fall and destruction, a haughty spirit before destruction. Destruction is a bad thing. And I've watched it. I've watched it in others. And I'm not preaching to you today only. I'm preaching to me that this is something we must be aware of. This is something we must guard. This will ruin your marriage. This will ruin your family. This will ruin your success. This will ruin your vision. This will wipe you out. This is a big deal. When he calls it a king, he's saying this is a ruling spirit that every church, every person who's involved in the water, the moving of the Holy Spirit, because you're anointed and the Spirit is moving, that does not mean that this Spirit, he's attracted. He likes to play there. So God is saying that it'll be difficult to fight the Spirit. Because most people, when I'm talking about pride, your mind immediately says, they really need that. I'm thinking of somebody who needs that. Boy, I wish they could hear this. And that's what you're going to be thinking while I'm preaching. But you're in the wrong service today. And it's not going to take me long, but I promise you, he gave Job four questions, a pop quiz. And he said, if the characteristics of Leviathan, the spirit of pride, are in your life, these are the ways he will manifest. And he asked it in questions. Question number one, will he make many supplications to thee? Will he make many supplications to you? And the answer to all of these is no. Supplication is prayer. A spirit of pride will never allow you to pray. It wants to stop you from praying. A person who does not pray, whether you're saved or unsaved, there is a spirit of pride that can get in you that says, I don't have to pray. The reason people don't pray is really mentally, they won't say this, but mentally they think they don't need to pray. I know what to do. I'm talented. I'm educated. I'm smart. I got to take care of my own business. And that's, you know, I got to do what I can do and I got to figure it out. And I got problems, but I got to figure it out. And I can do this. Will he ask supplications? The word supplication means to ask for help. And the answer is pride will never pray. When you really are free from that spirit of pride, it makes you understand, I, Jesus said, am the vine and you are the branches, and without me, you can do nothing. And one of the sure signs that Leviathan has a grip in your life is when you no longer feel the need to pray. And it's all right, because God sent me with the anointing to break you free from that today. God's going to put a hook in his mouth. I can't do it, but God can. It's important to pray. And he will resist. He will resist prayer. Proud people don't pray. They sense that they don't have to ask for help. Some of you are addicted, and pride won't let you ask for help. Some of you are here today and you're suicidal and depressed and defeated mentally, and pride won't let you ask for help. But supplication is to ask for help. It's why the scripture said in Ephesians 6, praying with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication, asking for help with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. But this Leviathan spirit hinders our prayers. It restricts us and causes us to stop, to depend on the flesh instead of depending on prayer and asking God for his help. That is a sign that pride has gotten its grip on your life. I don't need to make supplication to God. But the Bible said this when you say that, Hebrews 5 and 7, Jesus made supplication with strong crying. Prayers and supplication. The Son of God, God Almighty, and he's praying with supplication, asking for God's help with strong crying and tears. Where has the prayer gone? Why is the desperation gone from the church? But pride says, I don't make supplication. I don't feel the need to. I don't need the help. I can handle my own problems. Second question. He said, number one, Will he offer supplication? The answer is no. Notice the second way pride manifests. Leviathan's lurking. You can't see it on the surface. But the scripture said he asked, will he speak soft words? In other words, I mean, I preached this in 99, 25 years ago, right? This is crazy. One of the ways you can tell if Leviathan is manifesting in a life is by the words that come out of your mouth. When you become proud, you can't speak soft words, kind words, gentle words. You can speak the truth in love, the Bible said. But proud people think that they have a right to be harsh and mean and angry and demeaning with words. It's angry. It's I'm right, and I'm and even gave the illustration. Did you read it where in Job where he said, and fire comes out of their mouth? It's like a fire breathing dragon when they walk in the room. That's pride on somebody's life. And just because the Bible warns it, it says in Proverbs, the rich man answers harshly. There's a spirit about that because I am so successful, I can talk to you any way I want to talk to you. That's pride manifest. Because I have a degree or I have my this or that, but never, ever, ever allow pride to make you feel like you are better than anybody else, that you are, that they're so beneath you. That is a evil, wicked spirit. And it goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a downfall. Oh, God. And the way that I manifest that is not only by prayerlessness, but I manifest pride by harsh words, hard words, speaking to people ugly and speaking to people. You have to say things with the right spirit. Fire-breathing dragons. The Bible said, never give an office to a novice lest they become puffed up and fall into the snare of the devil. What was the snare of the devil? Pride. That's why God took a whole chapter and he said, I want to break down and warn people once they get in the water, once they get in the church, once they get washed and baptized in water, that it's possible that the enemy will come back into their life, submerge low, and he's there and he's subtle, and he starts through pride, and it shows up first through prayerlessness, and then it shows up through harsh words. You can tell if a person is proud by the way they talk. And I'm praying today, God, forgive us and forgive me. I don't know about you. I'll talk about me. Oh, God, I don't want pride to be heard in my conversations. The more he trusts us, the more he blesses us, he does not want it to make us arrogant and harsh with people. Then he gives a third question, verse 4, will he make a covenant with thee? No, he will not. He's a covenant breaker. The spirit of pride does not keep covenant. Marriage is a covenant. The New Testament, the Word of God, is a covenant. The first covenant God ever made with man was through Noah and Noah's ark. And he said, the sign of the covenant is the rainbow. But a group of people called gay pride has taken the rainbow and made it their symbol. I mean, just the name, gay pride. And God's warning that the number one spirit that will cause a fall and cause destruction is when pride says, and the Bible said the pride gets so big that it creates scales, and the scales like lust and perversion and offense and gossip and lying, and these scales get so tight together. He even said the heart is so hard, it's hard as a stone, that the air, did you read the verse? The air cannot get in. The air represents the breath, the Holy Spirit. Genesis, God breathed breath into the nostrils of man. John 20, Jesus breathed on them and they received and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, the upper room, there came a mighty rushing wind. But when this kind of spirit gets a hold of you and you're prayerless, you don't pray, you don't ask God for help, and you have harsh words and you're cussing everybody out and you're saying whatever, I don't care what nobody thinks, you have Leviathan. And then on top of that, he becomes a covenant breaker. They asked Jesus, they said, Moses and the law said we can divorce our wife if we don't like her. What do you say? And Jesus said these words. He said he told them that because of the hardness of their hearts. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Marriage is a covenant. But when pride starts getting in a marriage, you start saying, I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to be around you. I don't have to do that. That's pride, folks. And I'm preaching today because I don't know any other way to do but preach what the Bible says, because the Bible's right and our attitudes are wrong. And when we've got harsh words and when we've got no prayer and now we're covenant breakers, marriage covenants begin to be broken. And that's where uncleanness comes in. The lust, Jesus said this devil only has three weapons. It will never change. He always comes with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so what these spirits do is they gather around him and they lust comes and bitterness comes and unforgiveness comes and malice comes and hatred comes and unforgiveness comes, and they seal things up so that the wind of the Spirit, you can't even talk to people because you're so offended to them. You can't even get around them. And what has to happen, and you can't deliver yourself from this stuff. I love how it started. Can you just take a hook and pull it out? No, it takes God. It takes a move of the Spirit. God said, I've got a hook, and I can put it in the jaw of that demon, and I can pull it out of you, all that hurt, all that stuff, and you become humble enough to say, I'm sorry.
I really believe today that God is sending the power of His Holy Spirit, His breath, His air, that same wind that filled the upper room. It's blowing and it's flowing into people's lives. Humble yourself and receive today freedom from those harsh words and freedom from prayerlessness. You know, one of the signs that you are being controlled by pride is you don't feel the need to pray. If you're watching today and you feel like you've been caught up and really bound by a spirit of pride, I want you to go to your phone and dial the number that's on the screen, and we want to pray with you. And if you need a Savior, He's available right now. Just say these words, Jesus, forgive me. He can do it right where you are. Wash me, cleanse me, and set me free from pride and arrogance in Jesus' name. I want to welcome you to the family of God. If you're receiving Him right now for your first time, call the number that's on the screen. Go to the website, and we have a free devotional that we'll send you and help you in your new walk with the Lord. Before I go, I have to thank everyone who has been responding to the amazing work that we're doing in northern Israel, building the emergency center there. This project is so urgent, more now than it's ever been, and it's going to save so many lives. The construction is going up even while rockets are being fired. And I think when we honor and bless the things that are important to God, God will return that blessing to you, to your business, and to your family. Thank you so much. Continue to pray for us. If you can't give, give in prayer and pray for us as we're doing all that we can do. And thank you for your support. We love you so much. God bless you.
For the past 5 years, Jensen Franklin Media Ministries, together with our friends and partners around the globe, have partnered with the Jewish National Fund to help fund major life-saving projects in Israel. These amazing projects have already saved so many lives during the attacks on October 7th from Hamas on Israel's southern border. Now, in the north, over 300 Iranian drones and ballistic missiles were launched at Israel. The area that was most targeted is just 30 minutes north of the Sea of Galilee, right on the border with Lebanon and Syria. This area has no medical facilities in case of an emergency. Right now, Jewish people living in the area must travel an hour or use Life Flight to receive medical attention. That's why Jensen Franklin Media Ministries is stepping up in another major effort in Israel and providing the Northern Israel Emergency Center. There is no longer a threat of war, but a dark reality that war is here. You can help save lives through the Northern Israel Emergency Center. We need your help to build this hospital and provide emergency medical care to communities where it is needed the most. There is a blessing promised to those who bless Israel found in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. We believe God has strategically positioned us to play a role in protecting and blessing the nation of Israel. Be a part of the blessing. Call now or go online today.
Jesus didn't just wash their feet, but that's the thing that I saw, that he washed Judas' feet. Not just the good ones. He washed Judas' feet. I'm getting this. I know what you're going to do, and I'm already forgiving you. I'm washing you.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.